Yes.
Vice Chair Bullard.
Here.
Senator Brennan.
Here.
Senator Evers.
Yes.
Senator Grimsley. Senator Simpson. Senator Thompson. Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Hudson. Senator Grimsley is excused from today's meeting. Please silence all your electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please fill out the required government paperwork. We're going to go ahead and take up tab three, Senator Dietert. Senator Dietert, you're recognized on Senate Bill 222.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for hearing this very good bill. This bill requires that the governing body of each publicly owned or publicly operated airport must grant free parking to a vehicle displaying a disabled veteran DV tag. This issue was brought to our attention by a constituent who wondered why some airports were not allowing those with the DV tag to be granted free parking and some airports were. Some airports were apparently granting free parking to those with DV tag as a goodwill gesture. However, upon further research, we found that those with the DV tag were not granted free parking at airports unless they also had specialized lifts, ramps on their vehicle. We are seeking to amend the statute to ensure that all disabled veterans, those with the DV tag, many of whom have a service-connected disability rating of 100%, are granted free parking at public airports.
Thank you. Are there questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have Trustee Brian Pitts. Thank you very much, Mr. Pitts. Is there any debate on the bill? Senator Dietert, you recognize to close.
I will just say that the airport that we're not mentioning is the one in our area who has denied disabled veterans from parking for free if they don't have a lift. So this will take away that argument and give them the well-earned privilege of free parking.
Great. I'm sure they'll enjoy the recognition that you just provided them.
Yes. They deserve it. They earned it.
Ms. Hudson, please call the roll on Senate Bill.
What area is that again?
On the maps that you'll see this afternoon.
Please call the roll on Senate Bill 222, please.
Senator Brennan.
Yes.
Senator Evers.
Yes.
Senator Simpson.
Yes.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Bullard.
Yes.
Chair Brandes.
Yes, and by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Senators, let's go ahead and turn to tab four. You got it. CS for Senate Bill 416. Senator Flores, you're recognized. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank you for hearing this bill. Member, Senate Bill 416 clarifies the boundaries of a right-of-way. It removes existing ambiguity to make clear what a local government right-of-way is. There was a recent second DCA case that concluded that a city could expand its right-of-way to include an easement. The city then took over that property right, that right-of-way, without compensation. So this bill also addresses the responsibility for the cost of relocating utility facilities in an easement. The bill clarifies that if a local government requests that a utility relocate infrastructure in an easement, that then the local government must bear the cost of that relocation. And that is the bill.
Questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have a number of appearance forms. We have Tracy Hatch with AT&T.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill is very important to the utility industry. As was explained by Senator Flores, there is a Cape Coral decision that basically took an ambiguity in the existing right-of-way law, seized upon the ambiguity, and then used that ambiguity to take over a utility easement and force the utilities to move without compensation for the costs of moving. We think this is a really important bill, and that's what it does. It clarifies what happens with utility easements, as well as removes the ambiguity in the right-of-way law.
Very good.
I'm happy to answer any questions if you have.
All right. I don't think we have any questions. We have Megan Samples from the Florida Leaf Cities.
Good
recognized.
Thank you, Senator. I'm Megan Sojane Samples with the Florida League of Cities. First off, thank you to Senator Flores for hearing our concerns and working with us on this issue. However, we still have to oppose this piece of legislation today. We fundamentally believe that the Cape Coral court case got it right and the second DCA ruling got it correct. But if that court case maybe went too far in the local government's favor, well, we think this bill goes too far in the utility provider's favor. We got a lot of member feedback. They expressed to us that they didn't traditionally bear all these costs to relocate, and that gray area that may have been there before the court ruling is what gave them the ability to negotiate with the utility providers and to work out and compromise on negotiations and deals on how to best handle and move this forward so that burden wasn't on all on the taxpayers. A lot of times these services don't even service those constituent taxpayers in the area, so why would they have to bear the burden and the costs of relocating facilities for a service they may not even use or be able to use? We want to move forward and find language that's equitable for all. We understand that there's an issue with this, and we would like to find a solution that's equitable for all parties involved. So I continue to look forward to working with Senator Flores on this, and I hope we can find a solution moving forward. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Seeing none, thank you so much. We have Dale Calhoun from the Florida Natural Gas Association.
Mr. Chairman, I waive my time.
Very good. Thank you. We have Derek McGee with the Florida Chamber of Commerce waiving in support. We have Brewster Beavis with the Associated Industries of Florida waving in support. We have J.C. Flores with AT&T waving in support. We have Charlie Dudley with the Florida Telecommunications Association waving in support. You're recognized. Absolutely.
For the league. Can we?
For the
League of Cities.
League of Cities. Absolutely. Ms. Samples.
Okay. So you mentioned that you felt that there was some sort of middle ground or leeway. What's an example of what would be the middle ground leeway or, I mean, middle ground or compromise that you would see?
One solution that we offered last year when this legislation was up is that if we purchase the new easement at no cost to the utility providers, the local government is bearing all that cost to purchase the new easement, let's just split it 50-50, relocation moving forward. Another idea that we had this year was kind of doing a 10-year sunset provision, where if we purchase the new easement once again for the utility providers to be in, and if for some reason we require them to relocate their equipment within that 10-year period, then the local government would assume costs. But anything after that 10-year period, the utility provider would assume costs. That way we can show that we're working together, we're not just willy-nilly moving equipment around, and that we're planning for the future on this, and that we could collaborate and find a cost-effective solution for all parties.
Very good. Thank you. We have Doug Mannheimer with Sprint waving in. I guess you'd like to speak. Are you waving in support? Very good. Thank you. We have Jim Smith with CenturyLink waving in support. Senators, we are. I'll
put a card in there. I thought I was going to stay out of this.
Okay. You're recognized, of course.
I'm sorry.
We have a standing card here.
I'll put a card. Okay. I love you, believe me, I do. I love everybody, I really do. When I saw this, I got flashbacks in the house when this bill was stackpiled.
We don't want you to have flashbacks.
Okay, unfortunately. And when that happens, that's not too good, because then it's like, okay, everybody can't have it their way. So they all want to complain about the second district. I agree with you. I don't like the second district opinions. That's one of our worst appellate courts, in my opinion. I don't think they're thorough in their opinions. I really don't. I've read many of their opinions. Okay, they are not. But you don't go ahead and say, completely renege on what they said and say, we're going to completely take what they take. No, they brought it to our attention. The court is supposed to help construe a statute and law. The legislature then takes it and say, okay, did they get it right? Or let's fill in the problem that they're talking about. But you don't take a court case and say, trash it, basically that's what you've done, because it's trying to revert it back and say, basically the second district court case will mean nothing. No, you don't do that. As a matter of comity and diplomacy, you take that opinion, and here's another thing you have to understand, okay, if you may not. When you take a court opinion, it may not be what it is. See, a lot of times people will take what's on review, or they'll take something you're not supposed to, which is called dictum. It's not the issue on review, but in passing, they speak on the issue because it's connected with the issue on review. But when you take the opinion, don't take the dictum or the dictum part, because that is not law. Of course, if you know, if you're not in the legal field, you will understand that a whole case law opinion is not really covering all law, whatever is in that opinion. You're supposed to stick what is on review. So, on this, what I don't like, and honestly, you straighten this out, okay, is a local city in business against one another. I do not like that concept. And it continues to come up here as this is the feuding war to do it, as though they, as reasonable persons, cannot take that second district case and say, we don't need to go to the legislature and straighten this out. Look, let's try to figure out something and deal with this. I don't like what has occurred here, and of course, with the same bill last session. As the league had said, take the second district case and find a balancing. Now, here's the thing. If it had never went to the second district, nobody would have cared. We'd be here today. But because of that, that's the only main reason. Don't use the court as a mantle. And I saw the business community here and everything. And I say to them, you don't have any conscience here? Okay, you're supposed to work together. These same league entities, cities, you'll be going to for something else or want something else or some other benefit or ordinance or some kind of change of, you know what I'm talking about, whatever they're going to do their business with. Okay, and to come up here and then go back home and say, oh, treat us nice, we need you to change this ordinance for us or this zoning for us. Oh, wait a minute, you just got a whole law where now we're going to pay the utilities, but technically you should pay. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, that is not reasonable. That's not civil. So here's the thing about this. Okay, I'm going to say, you shouldn't, I don't like this. Okay, the fact that the member did not try to take the case and do what the league, because you're talking about diplomacy. So here's another thing y'all was talking about. Did you get with the, and I'm so tired of hearing this. Did you get with the stakeholders? Well, obviously, that was not the case. Not only that, one of your greatest stakeholders, which is local government colleagues. I'm going to tell you right now, they do come first before business. Yes, business is here, but your colleagues in local government do come first in line. Obviously, you didn't do that here. You need to straighten this out here, okay? I wasn't even going to deal with this, but believe me, I'll see you on it. I'll see you, unfortunately. I'll put it in the car.
So. All right, Senators, we're in debate. We need debate on bill.
Ryan Pitts on the matter, Mr.
Yes, absolutely.
I support them, man, but I know this may sound a little off, but Mr. Pitts has somewhat of a point. You know, we could find some sort of middle ground, and I think the league said the same thing. And I think, but the league started out by saying that they're talking to the sponsor of the bill to try to work some of that out, and so maybe the sponsor can talk a little bit about that. But, man. Just to Jesus on the matter right now.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, absolutely, Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have issues with the bill from the standpoint that any time you impose these kind of costs on local government, you're actually imposing it on the citizens, because that has to be recouped somewhere. So I think it's going to mean a tax hike on citizens in various local communities. And I, as Senator Brannon said, I'd like to see some kind of compromise where the businesses and the local governments can work together and maybe come up with some kind of cost-sharing arrangement. Thank you.
Further debate? Seeing none, Senator Flores, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I'd like to state for the record that I find myself agreeing with Mr. Pitts more often than perhaps others would care to admit, because I think he does bring some important issues to light. So let's talk for a minute about this bill and the bill that we have before us. As was mentioned, the second DCA had an opinion on an existing piece of legislation, an existing law that we had. That's the only place in the state of Florida where this is the interpretation of the law. So what this legislature is seeking to do, what I'm as a sponsor of this bill seeking to do with this bill, is to clarify and kind of shape the second DCA to say, well, the other DCAs haven't had this issue yet. Perhaps you should see it the way that the rest of the state is doing it. The cities also, in their testimony here today and in other times, have acknowledged that the second DCA went too far. In our time and negotiations in this bill, not just in this session, but in past sessions, there have already been some negotiations and some compromise. This bill is drastically different at this committee than it was in its first committee stop in community affairs. And I have been meeting with all the stakeholders. So, Mr. Pitts, I promise we all get together and we sit in a room and we talk and we hash things out. And I think that there is the results of those meetings have resulted into a bill before you that was already a bit of a compromise. And certainly, is there some more to be done? I think that that we're open to it. I express my initial concerns with Ms. Samples on some of the proposals that she brought up to you today. I think that in the effort of compromise, there's a place where we can all be on the same page. And I want to just finish off by thanking the previous sponsor of this bill for his very hard work, because if he hadn't taken all the hard punches, then I probably wouldn't be here before you today. So thank you very much for your time on this bill, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for your support of this issue.
Thank you. Ms. Hudson, please call the roll on CS for Senate Bill 416.
Senator Brennan?
Yes.
Senator Evers?
Yes.
Senator Grimsley? Senator Simpson?
Yes.
Senator Thompson?
No.
Vice Chair Bullard?
Yes.
Chair Brandis?
Yes. And by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Thank you very much. Senators, let's go ahead and take up tab 2, Senate Bill 196, Public Records, and we'll watch the Great Migration. All right, you guys are going to miss out on the Gold Star license plate. It's coming next. You're recognized. No, don't do that.
Get them all back.
They've come running. All right. Let's go ahead and take up tab 2, Senate Bill 196, Public Records, State-Funded Infrastructure Bank by Senator Hudson. Senator Hudson, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I actually thought all these people were here for me, so
they
I was
weren't.
A little worried. Senate Bill 196 provides a public records exemption for those private companies seeking loans from the State Infrastructure Bank, which is used for state and federal transportation projects. This exemption no longer applies if the company defaults. That is the bill.
Very good. Senators, are there questions on the bill?
Yes.
Senator, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hudson, this is your first bill, correct?
No, Senator, I've presented another bill in several different committees, including this one.
So excuse me, so who was who do we not want to see their information? Who is it that you're trying to hide their information?
Thank you, Senator. Great question. This fund's being underutilized right now. We've got a lot of money out there in this loan program. A lot of public companies are trying to access it. It's about 80-20. Private companies are trying, but they're saying, you know, we're worried if we try and go through the letter of intent process and the process to become an applicant, all of our proprietary information's out there. So they don't want that to be accessed by the public. But I put the provision in, if they default, we need to know why we're handing out bad loans. So that's what we're trying to do.
Mr. Chair, thank you. So you don't want us to know where the address is? Is that correct?
This would be for public records exemptions for all their proprietary information. That is correct.
Further questions? All right, we have one amendment. Oh, sorry. Senator Bullard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Senator Hudson, for bringing the bill forward. I know we hadn't had a chance to meet on it, but just curious, if the company itself gives out bad loans as part of their practice, they're not defaulting on their loan, but they give out bad loans, would the information then be public?
It would be only if they default on the loan the state gives, and if they are a company that's acted in bad faith, that is within the DOT process when they provide this. So they probably would get X'd out prior to even getting the loan.
Thank you.
All right, further questions? We have one amendment. We have amendment barcode 726854 by Senator Simpson as a courtesy. It's late filed. Any objection to late filed amendment?
Late filed. Ooh, wait a second. That takes 2/3.
Seeing no objection, we'll show that amendment introduced. Senator Hudson, you're recognized on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a technical amendment. It clarifies, if you look at your staff analysis on page 7, it basically clarifies and adds the word process through the LOI, the letter of intent for these. You give a lot of information out, so we're trying to keep that proprietary as well.
Very good. Are there questions on the amendment? Is there any appearance forms? No. On the amendment. Is there any debate on the amendment? You recognize close on the amendment.
Wave close.
All right. Any objections to the amendment? Without objection, let's show that amendment adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions on the bill as amended? We have a couple of appearance forms. We have Gary Hunter with the Association of Florida Community Developers. Very good. Thank you. Oh, absolutely. For Senator Hudson or for?
For the amended bill.
Oh, okay.
On the bill as amended.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so sorry about that. Thank you again, Senator Hudson. I noticed that with Senator Simpson now for the courtesy, and I was wondering if this now allows, let's say, egg farms or something along that line to
access the loan program
and or what if they happen to default?
Thank you for that great question.
Have you seen the price of eggs lately?
Anybody that wants to access the loan to build transportation, so if you're an egg farm that wants to put in roads that are concurrent with what the county, city, and state's trying to do, you could access that, and you would have to show your proprietary information if you default on that loan. That is correct.
Okay.
That includes Defo Brady's, the whole nine.
Great. And so what would now be the answer to why did the chicken cross the road?
Can I defer to Senator Simpson for that answer?
All right, we're moving on. We got Brewster Beavis with the Associated Agencies of Florida waving in support. Thank you, Mr. Beavis. Is there any other debate on the bill? Senator Hudson, you recognize close on the bill as amended. Ms. Hudson, please call the roll on CS for Senate Bill 196.
Senator Brennan?
Yes.
Senator Evers?
Yes.
Senator Simpson?
Yes.
Senator Thompson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bullard?
Yes.
Chair Brandis?
Yes, and by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Senators, let's go ahead and take up tab one, Senate Bill 88, the Gold Star license plate by Senator Simpson. Senator Simpson, you're recognized on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the Gold Star bill, and to get a license plate, you have to be a member of a family member of a fallen service member in the line of duty. And what we are attempting to do here is expand the people who are can actually access those. Currently, the service member fallen as a spouse, legal mother or father or step-parent can apply for the Gold Star plate and receive them. We are attempting to add parent through adoption, foster parent, grandparent, child, stepchild, adopted child, brother, sister, half-brother or half-sister of the fallen service member, and that is the bill.
All right, Senators, any questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have Colonel Mike Pendergrass from the Florida Department of Veteran Affairs. Thank you, Colonel Pendergrass. Is there any debate on the bill? Senator Simpson, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I wave close.
Ms. Hudson, call a roll on Senate Bill 88.
Senator Brennan?
Yes.
Senator Evers?
Yes.
Senator Simpson?
Yes.
Senator Thompson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bullard?
Yes.
Chair Brandis?
Yes, and by your vote, the bill reported favorably. Just to give you an update on where we are on a couple of the issues we've been working on. One, the transportation bill was filed today. It should have a number coming up this afternoon sometime. We'll probably workshop that in the next week or so, in the next committee meeting or so. And then we have also been diligently working on our driver's license package. And I think we're making good progress and hope to have something in the next week or so on that one as well. So we look forward to continuing to work on that. Anything else to come before the committee? Seeing none, Senator Evers moves, we rise.